Cavalcade of Kings. Henry II, Episode 2. The cavalcade of kings rides on, leaving Henry II to play the part which fate had allotted him in the drama of England's history. Upon learning of the brutal murder of Thomas à Becket, Henry, who had been in France when it occurred, hurriedly returned to England. And when our story opens, we find him with his wife Eleanor at the palace in London.
Eleanor, a Becket step hangs round my neck like a noose.
Where it doesn't choke you, my husband. Even a king has been known to pay the penalty of murder.
Odds blood, woman, a plague upon thee for laying such a vile deed at my door. Thou knowest full well I had no hand in it.
You spoke the words which sent him to his death. Did you not say to your knights in France, is there no man amongst the cowards to eat my bed who will rid me of this turbulent priest?
But I tell you, I never meant a Becket to be slain. I'm not a fool, and know full well what any man in my kingdom knows, that such a deed would rouse the Pope, the Church, and the people against me.
You should learn to curb your passionate temper, my husband.
Silence, thou mocking Jezebel.
Such harsh words to one who loves you dearly.
There is only one being whom you love, and that is yourself. You've hated me for years. You've grudged me my power and envied me the love of my people. Your lying lips smile at me, but your black heart would rejoice if my body was brought to you cold and lifeless. Even now you deny me the tender comfort of a woman's love in my hour of need, and sneer at me and glibly advise me to curb my temper.
And so you return to your mistress, the fair Rosamond, for the love and tenderness your soul craves.
Even as you turn to your many lovers, for the pleasure their empty flattery gives you. Leave me, you wanton. Go before I take that beautiful throat of yours between my fingers and choke the life out of it.
You would find the murder of your queen more difficult to explain away than the murder of your archbishop, my dear husband.
Oh, rot your soul, will you go?
At once, my beloved. But if ever the fair Rosamond crosses my path, well, you'd better warn her. Ah, my lord, the Earl of Salisbury, to see you.
Well, Salisbury, what news?
The very worst, sire. His Holiness the Pope has intimated that he intends to excommunicate you for the murder of a Becket.
But I sent respectful messengers to the Pope to plead my innocence.
They have been unsuccessful in placating His Holiness. Moreover, the barons have taken advantage of your unhappy position and are inciting the people to rebel.
But surely my people will not condemn me unheard.
All they have heard, sire, are the accusations leveled against you by the clergy and the barons.
Then 'tis time they heard the truth. Tonight, I leave for Canterbury, where I shall proclaim my innocence before the grave of Thomas à Becket. My lord bishops and my people, I come to you not as your king in fulsome pride and arrogance, but as an humble man, grief-stricken and penitent, although innocent of the vile crime of which I stand accused. And here at the very grave of this holy martyr, and before God, the Church, and my people, I solemnly swear to my innocence. But if the hasty, passionate words which I spoke in a moment of exasperation make me responsible for the bloody deed which was committed before the altar of St. Benedict in Canterbury Cathedral, then I beg that each one of the 80 bishops who stand here today will scourge me with their rods, and may the torments I suffer be my expiation for my sin.
If thou art truly penitent, my son, the Church will grant thee absolution after thy sin has been expiated.
Then, Holy Father, I implore you to punish me now as I stand before the grave of the holy martyr. See, I bear my back in readiness for the scourge. Proceed, I beg of thee, so that I may be forgiven the sooner.
It shall be done, my son. Thou, Father Anthony, will strike the first blow.
And so Henry contrived to make his peace with the Pope, which was still more firmly established when Henry was acknowledged Lord of Ireland. And once more, Henry ruled England without opposition. At the moment, we find him with the fair Rosamond in a beautiful bower he had built for her in a park at Woodstock. The bower was erected in a labyrinth and could only be found by following a silken thread.
Henry. Our friendship has been such a beautiful thing.
It has meant everything to me, Rosamond. I've come to you sick at heart, wearied out by falsehood and treachery, almost ready to lie down and die. But you've always supported me and sent me away with new courage, new hope, new faith. Oh, my dear, I love you so.
Henry, my dear one, I love you too with all my body and soul. We must not allow passion nor disloyalty to others to spoil the beauty of our love.
Disloyalty? You mean Eleanor?
Yes, Henry. She is your wife.
And her black, perjured heart is more deficient in a single touch of tenderness than any wild beast in the forest.
She is still your wife, Henry. Oh, my dear, can't you see it's just as hard for me?
Yes, my beloved, you're right. Her ghost will always come between us. I must be content with just your friendship. But in God's name, don't deny me that. For it is the rock of my salvation to which I cling when the waters of despair surge round me.
The rock will always be there, Henry. Steadfast and strong.
God bless you, my dear. And now I must say adieu until tomorrow, for I have affairs of state to attend to.
Adieu, my beloved friend. God keep you.
God keep you.
You are sure this is the right path?
Yes, Your Majesty. I have followed the king along it for the past 4 days without his knowledge.
You have obeyed my orders well. A pretty trysting face for the king and his mistress.
Hush, Your Majesty. There is the bower in front of us. Step behind this tree quickly. The king is just leaving and he might see us. Ah, His Majesty has departed. The girl will wait within the bower for a few moments, then she too will depart.
Perhaps. Tell me, are the guards to be trusted?
I picked them myself, Your Majesty.
Tis well. Bid them join me in the bower at once.
It shall be done, Your Majesty.
So, madam, this is where the king finds the solace which his heart craves.
Which you have denied him all his life, madam.
I must admit, Henry has shown better taste in his choice of a mistress this time.
I am not the king's mistress, madam.
Indeed? Then why this secret meeting place?
It was necessary to secure peace and privacy for our friendship, which the tongues of the court gossips would have befouled had they known it existed.
The peccadilloes of a king are always food for the gossips, my fair Rosamond.
Ours was no cheap peccadillo, madam, but real friendship, in which there has been no thought or deed of disloyalty towards you or God. I beg that you will believe me.
Oh, and if Henry is not your lover, what is he?
My friend, and my king for whom I would willingly die.
Splendid. I will give you the opportunity. Guards!
What are you going to do with me?
Kill you, you white-faced chit. Did you imagine I would permit you to usurp my place? The king might even be foolish enough to want to marry you one day, and then my plans would come crashing to the ground. See, here is a dagger, and here is a phial of poison. Choose!
No! No! I couldn't do that. I could not.
Then you will be handed over to my guards.
Oh.
No doubt they will find pleasure in your charm.
No.
And when they have finished with you, they will take you into the depths of the forest and kill you.
In God's name, are you woman or fiend?
Guards, the woman is yours. May she please you.
Take your foul hands from my body. I'd rather die than know the shame of your caresses. Give me the phial of poison. I've chosen.
Tis well. Now drink it. All of it.
Oh.
Ah, she's drained it. Soon she will die, as others will die who set themselves against me and my ambitions.
Rosamond's death was a bitter blow to the king, and later his misery was added to by the rebellion of his 4 sons, which was incited by Eleanor. In 1188, his son Richard once more joined forces with the King of France in a war against his father. And on July the 6th, 1189, Henry, having suffered many defeats in France, agreed to a peace treaty at Chinon, where we now find him with his infamous son Richard.
Nay, my son, it is not the signing of this treaty which bows my head in grief. For I welcome the peace it brings.
What then, my father?
Put your hand in your conscience, my son, and see if it does not come out as black as pitch. First Henry, then Geoffrey, now you. Oh, Richard, my son. After all I have suffered at the hands of my own flesh and blood, to think that I should live to see you bend the knee to Philip of France and accept him as your lord before me, your father.
It was strategy, father.
Nay, it was treachery of the basest kind.
Your nobles had deserted you, and you were losing battle after battle. I thought
'twould be safer for you to join the winning side. Is it any wonder I crave the peace which death alone can bring me? Give me the treaty.
Here it is, father.
I was silent.
There is a stipulation in it, granting indemnity to my followers. Here are their names. You will notice the name of your favorite son, John, at the head of it.
John! John! Child of my heart! Oh, John, whom I have loved best of all, and for whom I have contended through all these troubles, have you betrayed me too? John, oh, shame. Shame on a conquered king. Oh.